You only have to check the thermometer in here every once in a while, make sure everybody's still going good. We're going to be reading out of the book of 1 Corinthians, 15th chapter, something that the Lord has showed me upon my heart all last week and some things that He showed me, and I want to share with you in this message. Hopefully we can encourage you. Hopefully we can provoke you to good works and to love and to do that which is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. If you're here today and you're lost, we highly recommend this, that you always keep your heart open. Put the songbook down. Put the cell phone down. Put the things down. Everything will be all right until you get out of church. The things the Lord's going to say right now, you'll need to store into your heart. And the Lord will bless you for it. And if you got your Bible opened up to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, say amen.
Amen.
If you would, we ask you and invite you to stand with us if you're able. If you're not, we understand that you can't physically stand with us. But we want to reverence the reading of God's Word. I'm going to want to read one verse for the moment of standing right now, but I'm going to be reading a lot of verses. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, I'm going to read verse number 58. And this is what Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we come to you. We thank you, Father, and we praise you, Father, for everything that you've done so far. We thank you for the heavenly love. We thank you for the lighthouse, Lord. We thank you, Lord, Father, for everything that's been prepared, everything that's showed, Lord. But we pray today, Lord, Father, for your Spirit and your power to show up, Lord, Father, in your preaching, in the message, in my heart, in my mouth, Lord, Father, that you would preach me, Lord. As we have prayed all morning, Lord, we want to be a vessel unto honor, just to be used, not to have the pats on the back or the accolades, Lord, but may we just be a trumpet, Lord, Father, that you would sound through us, Lord, the message for this very hour and for this congregation. That, Father, that we may adopt these things, put these things in our heart, Lord, that we may live closer unto thee. Lord, that we may allow these things into our heart, Lord, if we're not saved today, that we'd be marvelously, gloriously born again and saved. Above all things, Lord, Father, that you'd get glory, honor, and praise unto your high and holy name. And Lord, I pray that everything right now, Lord, Father, that everything that's got folks distracted, got minds a-wondering, got hearts, Lord, Father, focused on something else, Lord, or bent in a certain direction. Father, I pray that we'd have ears to hear today exactly what your word has to say. Lord, it's one thing for me to holler or to preach or to sweat or to spit, Lord, Father, but it means a whole lot more if you'll do the preaching through me. Help me to say everything that I need to say, Lord, Father, and preach exactly what you want me to say. Not be afraid and not be scared, Lord, of faces. But, Lord, also, too, may I preach not the things that ought not to be said, that glory and honor could be in through your name, that you would not be ashamed, Lord, Father, nor this church ashamed of the preacher. Lord, Father, all these things we ask in your Son, sweet, precious, holy, righteous name. It's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Like I said, thank you for standing and reading with us, and thank you for standing and praying with us. I want to give you exactly what's on our heart, as we said, for the time of standing. I know sometimes people get weary standing. Sometimes people get weary sitting. And if we need to read a whole lot more, we'll have you stand again. I heard one preacher say this, that the mind will only endure what the backside will allow it to go through. And I'll say today that what we need to do is have our mind opened up to do exactly what God has us to do and hear what he has to say. Here in this 1 Corinthians, this first letter that Paul wrote into the Corinthian church, most of us know the Corinthian church, the things that's went on in this church. But the Apostle Paul is exhorting him in that verse number 58. He's telling them to continue on in the steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. He says, because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I want to get to that just in a few seconds, but I cannot go on without saying thank God for what this 15th chapter, what is all within this 15th chapter. Can I say this, that in these verses, I want to say thank God that we find out in these verses that in verse number 53, it says, "For the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ." Can I say, thank God, hallelujah, we've got victory. Thank God we know that we've got victory in the end. Can I say this? I've said it many a times. It's fixed. It's fixed. Yep. The fight has been rigged. Though the battles you're facing now, one day after a while, it might even be today, the victory will show up in your life. Yep. You won't have to worry about all the pains and the sorrows and the struggles of life. I'm glad that the Bible says that the strength of sin is the law, or the sting of death is the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. I want to stop right here and say something. You know, a lot of people think that God done away with the law, but God has not done away with the law. The law is still around. It's for the lawless. It's for the person who's sold under sin and still yet living and abiding in the depths of sin. I'm reminded as the Apostle Paul preached and wrote to the Roman the believers from Rome. He said, whom you yield yourself servants to is whom you obey. And can I say this? If you're a servant unto sin, you're obeying sin. And the law says under the law that all sin must be purged. All sin must be took care of. But can I say this today, friend? I know some people say, well, preacher, Jesus came and done away with the law. Jesus didn't do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. Why would he fulfill the law? He fulfilled the law that way man cannot say. He has no one who can understand what's going on in his life. But the Bible says the Lord fulfilled the law. And not only did he fulfill the law, he offered himself up as the sacrifice to purge the sins and the penalty of the sin. And can I say, I thank God today that we've got victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just don't get excited. Just calm down right now. We're only preaching about we've got the victory. Everybody say amen. Can I say this right now? People play a sport and people play a game not knowing whether or not if they're going to get the victory. But can I say this? If you're saved this morning, can I tell you this? No matter how rough it is right now, no matter how hard it is right now, no matter the bank account looks empty, no matter if the house looks empty, no matter if the body looks like it's falling by the wayside, no matter if you're sitting there and deathbeds are calling, but friends, we already know at the end we've got the victory. We've got the victory over sin. We've got victory over death. And thank God it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I say this today? I'm so glad today, hallelujah, that we have been saved. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking about all this flesh things, and I wrote some things down. I thank God that the contamination of sin in our flesh will be over soon. The contradiction of this flesh and sin will be over soon. The confusion, the condemnation, the commotion, the combativeness, the conspiracy, the conflict, the controversy of our flesh will be over soon. Hey, friend, don't get too excited. Y'all don't get too in an uproar, but we've got victory over sin and victory over this flesh. I know today some people might say, well, preacher, you know, is there more to it than that? Friend, I'm telling you all the problems that I've had in my life, I'm glad to know this after a while, I won't have to put up with them no more. I've heard too much about cancer taking family members out. Bless God, this church has been dealing with people who have been suffering from cancer and battling with cancer. I've heard some people say that. I'm not trying to knock nobody's self-motivation or their speech about fighting against cancer. But friend, can I say this? This flesh has worked against us from the moment that we were born. It'll always work against us to the moment we leave this life. But can I say this? One day after a while, this mortality will be put off, and we'll put on immortality. This flesh will fall off, and we'll put on ourselves a different kind of flesh. The Bible says in this very same scripture, in verse number 39, it says, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. And so also the resurrection of the dead is sown in corruption and is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor and raised in honor and glory. It is sown in weakness and raised in power. Somebody say amen right there. On the resurrection morning when all the dead in Christ shall rise. Come on now, help me out. On the resurrection morning when all the dead in Christ shall rise. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life, glorified with Him forever. Death will be lost in victory. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Y'all might be thinking, preacher, you done messed up on the words. I didn't mess up on the words. We get a glorified body. We get ourselves a brand new body. It's been sown in weakness, but it's going to get raised in power. You said, preacher, I got creaks and bends and pains and nagging things in my body that I just can't stand. Well, friend, if you're saved, be of good cheer. One day after a while, you won't have to worry about those things no more. We got folks with blood diseases. We got folks with crippling diseases. We got folks with cancer. But oh, bless God, after a while, those things won't enter into glory no more because we've got the victory. The Bible says this. It is sown a natural body, is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first, which was is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. Can I say something right now? You ain't born in this world saved and going to heaven. If you reach that stage part of accountability, you still have to be born again and saved. You can't get raised up in the way. You can't just get it by osmosis. Though we got some people who think they can do osmosis. And yeah, I'm just saying it because it's a big fancy word, Megan. And I like saying a big fancy word. It doesn't just filter in through your brain or through your hair follicles. You got to get it from the Lord.
Yeah.
It's got to come from God. Everybody all right? Amen. You got to get it through and by Him. The Bible says that in the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And is the earthy, such are they that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Can I say this morning? I thank God that spirit quickened the inside and quickened the mortal flesh. He said, preacher, that's not matching up with this verse 58. Don't worry, we're getting there. I've got to establish something. Can I say this? We're supposed to bear the image of the heavenly if we've been saved. And I know we bear the image of the earthly and the physical outward appearance, but the inward appearance, we're supposed to bear the image of the spiritual, the heavenly one, Jesus Christ. The first Adam, the first Adam was Adam in the garden. We all bear the image of Adam. We all bear the problem of sin. We all bear it. It's in our heritage. It's in our DNA. It's in our life. You know, some people may not guess, and I know some folks don't look at it this way, but I still do. You know, we still have a sin problem, and yet in the world, and when sin is not dealt with, sin will always cause death.
Right.
The Bible says in the book of James that lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and when sin is finished, it brings forth death. He didn't say the devil caused the sin. It didn't say somebody else caused the sin. It says the lust within our flesh brings forth sin, and when sin is finished, it brings forth death. I know some people may not like this, but people believe it's right preaching. That's the reason why this body cannot go to glory. And verse number 50 says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. This flesh is tainted, this flesh is bothered, and this flesh right here will cause us more problems. But I thank God we've got the victory. Can I say that's the first victory I find in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 in these verses? The victory that I want to preach upon today, the first part. We find that the victory, we find one. The second one is this, that it says that we have a body likened unto his. We will have to sown in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in weakness, but raised in power. I thank God we get ourselves a different body. I thank God we got something we won't have to worry about no more. The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 3, verses 1 through 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, when he shall appear, we shall be likened unto him. Now, can I say this? I'm glad that part's taken care of. Now, y'all might be thinking I'm going soft this morning. I'm not going soft. But I want to say this. I'm glad that everything's been mapped out. Everything's been preordained. Everything's been predestined, if you'll have it, for the believer's life. Things have been set up. The cross of Calvary has already been instituted. The lamb that would be slain on that cross was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I mean, a lot of people says, I got everything stacked against me, preacher. Matter of fact, you don't get everything stacked for you. I mean, you've got something great put in your place and for your place and in your favor. The Bible says this, not only do we have a place we could go to at Calvary for the forgiveness of sins, but the Bible says that Jesus said, if I go away, I won't leave you comfortless, but I'll give you the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says when he comes back again, we shall see him as he truly is. And we won't have to worry about the kinks and the pains and the problems no more. The second part of the victory that we get is not the first victory is we are conquered. We get to conquer over death and the grave. But thank God in the sin. But I'm glad when Jesus comes back, we get that brand new glorified body. I'm glad we got something better we can talk about. I mean, we won't get together and say, I'm on this prescription and I'm on that prescription. But I got people in here who's got to take prescription pills. And when they get a common cold or get the flu, they can't take regular medication because the body has worked against them. Is anybody hearing this preacher this afternoon? But can I say I'm glad one day after a while we won't be comparing medical bills and doctor prescriptions and things such as that nature. Yeah. Won't be planning nursing home visits no more. Woo! I mean, bless God. There'll be funeral home directors up there and grave diggers, but they'll be unemployed. Yeah. Doctors and nurses will be up there, but they'll be unemployed. But bless God, best thing about it is we all get to sit around and glorify Jesus, yeah, who made it all possible. But it says in 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 3, he that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. Can I say this today, friend? If you're born again and saved, there's something that's on the inside that we have to keep clean and we have to keep pure. Oftentimes people don't look at it and say, well, preacher, I'm just doing the best that I can and I'm just barely getting by. But can I say this? That doesn't sound like a king's kid to me. The king's kid is one who's got things set in order. The things that have been set in place for you to succeed or for you to prosper is always there. The Bible says that we should allow these things. If we got our hope in Him, we should purify ourselves as even He is pure. I heard Sister Kim as we was walking up the sidewalk. She said, I'm keeping myself unspotted. I'm trying to keep myself unspotted. It made me think of that scripture in 1 James where it says, pure religion in the sight of God is to visit the fatherless and the widows and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Right. I thank God today that there's something better that we have in store for us. That's the second victory. But the Lord showed me this third victory. What's the third victory, preacher? That's what we find in verse number 58. I want to preach this morning. That's where all foundation, that was all introduction to get to this verse number 58. Because there's also a victory we can have in this life. And this is what the Lord laid upon my heart. I saw this years ago. And I saw it on a website and I snapshot it or whatever you want to talk about it. I got it copied down. I got it wrote down. I keep it near and dear to my heart. And I've said it maybe a handful of times. I don't know how many times I've actually said it. But this is what I want to preach on this morning. If the service of the Lord is worth anything, it's worth everything. It is worth everything. Why? That's the victory that we can feel in this life. The victory in the service of the Lord. If the service of the Lord is worth anything, it is worth everything. Notice that the Apostle Paul says in verse number 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, he's speaking unto believers. He's speaking to those that's been born again and blood bought, those that have been saved, those who have that testimony of Jesus Christ, those who know what it's like to be born again and saved. And I want to say, when the Apostle Paul was preaching, I've heard a lot of people say, well, preacher, that Bible is for the lost people. The Bible is not for lost people, but the Bible is for the saved individual. He's writing unto a church. This letter is to a church. It's not just a whole collaboration of people. It is a message unto a church. He says, my brethren, my beloved brethren, he's talking to them from a heart of being honest and true and sincere. He says, be ye steadfast, number one. Secondly, unmovable. And number three, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Being steadfast is that you're fixed, you're stationary, you're not going nowhere. Be steadfast, as the Paul told the church and the believers in Ephesus. He says, when you've done all to stand, stand. And can I say this? Sometimes it may look bleak and sometimes it may look kind of rough. And sometimes it may look kind of rough doing the things that God wants you to do. But the Lord is telling us to be steadfast. Don't worry about what's going on around you. Just keep being steadfast. Keep doing what God wants you to do. Keep focusing on what God wants you to do. Can I say it's the devil's demise or the devil's design to get you to fall from what you're being steadfast in? Can I say we got plenty of churches that's no longer steadfast in the gospel, no longer steadfast in the Bible? I thought about this and we laughed and joked around. Some of you may not know, but there's lights that plug into this thing. And we plug it in and the lights come on and we had some folks come and look at it a Friday night. And every time you get loud or every time a loud noise happens, the lights flash faster. And I made the comment, I said maybe we might blend in with some of these people with the fancy lights and the noisemakers to get folks to get something more into the service. But can I say this, friend? If it's flashing lights and fancy noises that gets you to focus upon the Lord, friends, you're in the wrong idea. It's not be steadfast in the things that please the flesh, not be steadfast in the things that will scratch the ear that's needing to be scratched. But friend, be steadfast in that, in the things of God, in the ways of the Lord. Not only being steadfast in the ways of the Lord, but be steadfast in the word of the Lord. May I say this? The Bible says, the word, thy word, O God, is settled in heaven. I've heard people say, "Preacher, I just don't know which way to go. I'm looking for answers and searching for answers." Oh, the Apostle Paul told him to be steadfast. And can I say, if you're steadfast in the word of the Lord, you'll never be without a flashlight. You'll never be in the dark totally. You'll have a light to guide your way. It'll be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Oh, friend, can I say this? That word of God gets into your heart. That word of God will keep it in your heart. I remember, if we got to, we'll put the pledge to the Bible upon this screen again. I'll hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God. I've heard people say, "Preacher, you always such a Bible thumper. Why do you keep thumping that Bible?" Well, friend, I have realized and noticed this, Brother Dom, that this word of God has lasted since the beginning of time. That's exactly right. Because the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The same as in the beginning with God. "And by Him were all things made, and without Him was not anything made. And He is the light, in Him was the light of all men." Can I say this, friends? This Word of God, be steadfast and in this Bible, and steadfast in this Word. Be steadfast, be fixed, be stationary. Don't be allow yourself, don't get turned about. And the second one says, unmovable. Don't allow things to push you. Don't allow things to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. May I say this? The enemy loved to poke and prod you and get you dealed up and messed up in your flesh to keep you from being unmovable. I was talking with Christian. I said something at the beginning of service. The Bible says the Lord make our feet like hinds' feet. You might know what that is? That's a hoofed animal. That's like a deer. And you get them goats on the side of them mountains, Brother James. They walk just as sure-footed on the side of a mountain as we do flat-footed upon the earth. And it says, "Lord, make my feet like hinds' feet." I wonder why the psalmist said that unto God. Because, can I say this? This world is full of mountains and full of valleys. Either you're heading up to the top of the mountain or you're coming back down into a valley. But you need to be steadfast and unmovable in your steps and that following the Lord. He says, abounding in the work of the Lord. That means it better be a lot of it. It better be plentiful of it. You said, "Preacher, what are you getting at today?" If the service of the Lord is worth anything, it's worth everything. We oftentimes get caught up in the things of the world. I used to say this all the time, and I brung it up. My pastor says this. I used to say, I got too many irons in the fire. And realistically, he said something stuck with my heart. He says, "No, I've got one iron. I'm trying to put it in too many fires." Can I say this? There's nothing sweeter and better for a child of God than to be steadfast, unmoved, steadfast and unmoved, and abounding in the work of the Lord. You say, "Why, preacher?" I've often thought this. I may get the quote wrong, Lord, but isn't it idle hands is the devil's workshop or playhouse? Playground, is that what it is? When we sit around and we ain't busy doing something, we tend to get in trouble, ain't that right? Y'all hearing the preacher? Since it's quiet, I'm going to ask the Lord, calm me down just a little bit. We'll speak real slow. Churches get in trouble, safe people get in trouble when they ain't got nothing to do.
That's right.
I've shared this before, and I'll never forget this. Whenever we left our home church, I'm just giving you a testimony. When we left our home church, had a lot of churches give us a call, want to know if we'd come join up with their church. And every time I'd ask them, they said, "We need your help." I said, and I'd say, "Well, if I can help you, I'll come help you." And they kept asking over and over, "Need help, need help, need help, need help, need help, need help, need help." Well, I was struggling, Brother James. I didn't know which way to go. I'm getting pulled in every direction. The problem was that I wasn't standing steadfastly in what the Lord had me to do. I needed to be abounding in the work of the Lord. I was allowing people's desires to pull me in every direction. And I asked this person asked me the question. They said, "Do you know where the Lord's having you go to church yet?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "Right now I'm having a struggle." I said, "I got one calling me, asking me to join here. I got one calling, asking me to join here." I mean, we actually had pastors calling us and asking us to join their churches. It wasn't because we were special. I think because they needed a shot of something new in the church. And can I say this? When a church is doing nothing, it gets kind of dead around the church house. And when it gets dead around the church house, a new member shows up and people flock around him like a pack of wild dogs or a pit bull on a stake. Somebody say amen right there. And they want that new freshness. They think that freshness is what they need. But really what we really need is to be abounding in the work of the Lord. And so this person asked me, he says, "What are they asking?" I said, "They keep asking me for help. If me and my wife and kids could come help them, come help them, come help them." He says, "Let me ask you this question." He says, "What are they doing?" And Sister Vicky, out of all of them, no one could tell me what they was doing. And this person gave me some of the best advice. He said, and I'll use Brother James, he won't mind. Brother James, I'm sitting in my house in my recliner doing nothing. Can you come over and help me? Can I say, when we forget to abound in the work of the Lord, if the service of the Lord is worth anything, it's worth everything. It's worth everything. Oftentimes people say, well, preacher, and I'm not saying that everybody has to be doing the same job. That means that's what's abounding in the work of the Lord. May I say this? I don't have to beg people and ask people what I need to do. The Lord shows me what to do. I ask other folks if they need help. And if the Lord wants me to help him, he'll open up that door. But can I say that we all have a work to do in the house of the Lord? We all have a work to do in the church. We all have a work to do in the body of Christ. Y'all hearing the preacher? Oftentimes somebody says, well, preacher, I can't do much. Well, if you do what you're supposed to do, that's a whole lot. Because if you're doing what you're supposed to do, that means nobody else has to do what they're supposed to do and do what you're supposed to do. Is anybody hearing the preacher? But oftentimes we forget that the abounding in the work of the Lord, that means plentiful. That means we've got plenty to do around. Things that can be done, things that can be said. There's three things that the Lord showed me about this message. How can we be steadfast? How can we be unmovable? And how can we abound in the work of the Lord? There's three things the Lord showed me. He showed me about us continuing in the work of the Lord, being consistent in the work of the Lord, and to always cultivate the work of the Lord. Y'all might be thinking, well, preacher, you get all kinds of adjectives that start with the letter C. I know I went on a word search in the last couple of days, and C just kept sticking with me. But Brother Ronnie, I talked to a bunch of people last week, and they kept asking me, they said, what do I need to do? I'm trying. I said, consistency is huge. Continuing in the work and being consistent in the work and being cultivating in the work of the Lord is all that you need to do, because it's worth everything. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse number 14, it says, And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, and the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. They all continued in chapter number 1 of the book of Acts. They continued in prayer. They continued being together. They continued sticking with one another. Though times had gotten rough, I mean, they're just now looking, they're around each other. They're seeing that Jesus has gone away upon the cloud. Not only did they have to deal with him being dying upon the cross, and their hearts were ripped out for 3 days and three nights. But on that third blessed morning, the Bible says the Lord got up out of that grave, and then he appeared himself unto the brethren and appeared himself unto those witnesses for about 40 days. And the Bible says that when he sailed up and went to be with the glory, the Bible says that a cloud came down and received him, and he went up to be with the Lord. They still kept on going. They still kept on getting together. They continued doing what God wanted them to do. Friend, can I say this? If the Lord, if you can't see him with your eyes, or if so-and-so's not present, your work shouldn't be based upon so-and-so. Your work should be based upon the love that you have for Jesus Christ. Continue in that work. You say, preacher, some folks ain't amen, and some folks ain't pat me on the back. May I remind everybody, Jeremiah preached and prophesied for years. Don't think nobody got saved. He got put in prison over it. Noah preached for years, and only his family got inside the ark. Friend, we don't do it because we have people responding to it. We continue doing it because it's what God wants us to do. When you continue working in the things of the Lord, when you continue doing the work of the Lord, being steadfast, abounding, and unmovable in the work of the Lord, you'll continue in it. And if you continue in it, something great happens. In Acts chapter number 1, we just read to you how they continued together in prayer, in one accord. That means they were together in their prayer. They were together and they was focused on what they was praying for, which spilled over into Acts chapter number 2. They were gathered together in Acts chapter number 2, and they began to have themselves a time. The Bible says the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Somebody say amen right there. I think it'd be good sometime. I'll say it again, Brother Paul. I think it'd be good if we had the Holy Ghost come in and fall upon us and sit upon us. You said, preacher, you're getting kind of sideways, I think some folks need a Pentecostal type movement, Brother Eddie, to get them a moving and to keep them a moving. But in Acts chapter number 2, verse number 42, it says, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers. They kept going. I wonder today if you need something to keep you going other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you need something to push you and prod you and pull you along. Some people say, preacher, I don't understand that. Sometimes God will send messages, and that we've preached this before, about being a pushy preacher or a provoking preacher or a pulling preacher. That's what I need to be if it's to get you to see to continue in that in the work of the Lord. To continue in the work of the Lord is something that will make things totally understandable and lead to things that you would not believe it could happen to. In Nehemiah chapter number 5, verse number 16, many of them quit. Many of them quit working. You know what they did when they quit working? They quit working and they began to buy themselves their own places to live. They began to use their own material, the material that God had set aside for them, Sister yep. Tina, and work on their own places. This is in Nehemiah. But like this, it wasn't just for the church people to do, but the preacher man had to get there and work too. Somebody say amen. Yeah. So don't think I'm throwing off on nobody. In Nehemiah chapter 5, verse number 16, Nehemiah said, "Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work." That means they didn't allow nothing else to get in the way. They had to get back. They had to get that wall built. They had to get everything set up. Can I remind everybody that Nehemiah is coming out of the captivity of the Babylonian Empire? All those people have been kept captive. The children of Israel were took in and were kept captive. And Nehemiah and Ezra are gone out. Their hearts were broken. The king gave them favor to go back and rebuild the wall. Can I say this? Nehemiah knew he may never see the glory of the tabernacle or the temple. I should say not the tabernacle. He may never saw the temple and way it should be glorified, Brother James, when he first started working on the wall. But he said, somebody's got to work. Somebody's got to keep on working. Somebody can't quit. You know what's wrong with a lot of places nowadays, a lot of church houses? Folks quit way too soon before the victory comes rolling in. A lot of folks quit too soon before the reward comes flowing through. A lot of folks quit before they can see the victory that comes from working that with the Lord. Can I give you kind of advice today? Continue in the work of the Lord. Amen. Secondly, be consistent. Be consistent. What was wrong with them churches in Laodicea? They weren't hot, they weren't cold. They was just lukewarm. No consistency. No consistency. Can I say this? Your consistency shows up in a great way in people's lives. Being consistent. You know, your neighbors look and see how consistent you are going to church. Your family sees how consistent you are when it comes to reading and praying. The Lord sees your consistency. You see your consistency yourself. May I say this? If there's one thing that I have to deal with, I have to deal with my consistency. Being constant, being always doing that which the Lord had me to do. Not wavering, not just continuing to do it, but be consistent in the doing. As in, I need to do it because the Lord wants me to do it, but I also need to do it because it benefits me, Brother Billard. That Bible reading, that Bible studying, and that praying, and that singing, it just does something for me. And whenever I neglect it, and I just do it here and there, I'm not hot and I'm not cold in it, may I say, it'll always show up that something bad's happening on the other end. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7, 8, and 9, somewhere around there, it says, "For be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that is he also shall reap. If he soweth unto his flesh, he shall reap of the flesh corruption. But if he soweth the Spirit, he shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting." And in that ninth verse, it says, "Let us not be weary, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And a lot of times I kind of cut up those scriptures, but the Lord showed me. He said, "Jason, if you're consistent in your sowing, if you're consistently sowing in the Spirit, if you're consistently sowing in it, continually sowing in it," he says, "you will reap." He didn't say you might reap. He didn't say it's a possibility you reap. He says you will reap if you faint not. Right. So if we give up and we don't continue, we won't reap. Can I say this? Paul told Titus in chapter number 2, verses 7 and 8, "In all things shewing thyself a pattern of good works." A pattern of good works. "In doctrine, in shewing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." May I say, one of the hardest things I have to deal with is defending people who go to church and their lives don't match up with the Lord. They do not have a consistent life. They don't have a consistent pattern. They don't have a continual pattern in good works, uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. I like that gravity part. You ever see, gravity is when something keeps you grounded, something that draws you towards the middle. And can I say this? There should be something drawing us to be consistent in the work of the Lord. You said, "Preacher, I still don't understand why these scriptures are coming this way." I'm telling you, if the service of the Lord is worth anything, it's worth everything. to be consistent. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing that we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, amen. It says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doeth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race which is set before us. Weights and sin will always cause us not to be consistent. May I say this, the things that's weighing you down and burdened you down, you're not meant to carry. The Lord wants to carry them for you. He says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. He says, give me your weights and give me your burdens, the things you're struggling with. Let me have them. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. 1 Peter 5 and 7. How can you be consistent if you're loaded down all the time? How can you be consistent if you've got sins that are always nagging at your life? May I say this, it's one thing to know and the Lord shows your sin. And may I say this one more time for everybody who may not be listening and for those that might be asleep on this front pew right here to my right. I want to say this, be sure your sins will find you out. Be sure your sins will find you out. Why? Because it will tear you up in this race of life and it'll knock out your consistency. Everybody all right?
Yeah.
Lastly, cultivate. Sometimes you got to go back to doing some of the hard work, and that's what I'm trying to do today, and I'll get to it in a minute. Y'all may think we've been here for an hour or two, but we ain't only been here for about maybe 40 minutes of preaching. Cultivate. I said we got to continue in our work, be consistent in our work, cultivate in our work. Sow to yourselves, first of all. Make sure your heart's turned over. Make sure you got good soft ground. Amen. Don't let your heart get hard. Preacher, somebody done me wrong. Let them deal with that.
Amen.
Let them handle that. I've told some people before, sometimes you got to ask folks just to forgive you just so the situation, the matter might be over with. Why? Some people say, well, preacher, that's not right. Let them deal with what's right and what's wrong. Amen. You deal with what's right in your heart. Don't let it get hardened. The Bible says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Sometimes that ground, that fallow ground, it's that unturned over ground. It's that ground that you need to be working in. It's that ground that needs to be turned over. It's that ground that needs to be turned over so something could be planted there, something could be watered there, that something may grow there. And may I say this, if the ground of the heart is hard, if the ground of the heart is rocky, if the ground of the heart is full of thorns, if the ground of the heart is not receiving seed, you mark it down, it'll die. It won't produce no life. He says, break up your fallow ground. Let's cultivate things in our heart. Then when the Lord shows us something and does something in our life, shows us greatness and shows us mercy and shows us favor and shows us blessing, it's not for us to get a big head, but it's to remind us that if we keep our hearts soft and tender and pliable in the hand of the Lord, that He can use us to do mighty things. May I remind everybody that God is doing a work in these last days through His church. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 1, in sundry times and diverse manner, that the Lord spake unto our father, or spake unto our fathers by the prophets, but these last days He has spoken to us by His Son. The Bible says the head of the church is Jesus Christ, and the rest of the body is the church. Brother James, He's still using mankind to work and to spread His gospel.
Amen.
Let us cultivate these things. Not only do we cultivate the things that we're supposed to cultivate in our own heart, but Jeremiah said some wise words from the Lord in chapter 4, verse number 3. I'll just say it like this. He says, don't sow it amongst the thorns. Do not sow amongst the thorns. The thorns are a representation of the cares of the world in this life. Don't sow that precious seed amongst the cares of the world in this life. It'll always choke the seed. See Matthew chapter 13. Y'all with the preacher still? Y'all still here? Cultivate that which is right. Cultivate not only in your own heart, but cultivate in others that good, precious seed. I had all these things written down, and you may say even some of this is an introduction. I want to say this. This past week, I saw something that I have not seen since I've been here. I'm not saying that it's never been here. I'm talking about since I've been here. I saw people getting pushed out of their comfort zone. I saw people getting pushed to the brink of losing their mind. I saw people getting pushed to the brink. They's getting mad and about to do a whooping on somebody. Y'all hearing me? You know who the first person I saw? It was me. I have not seen, I ain't saying the crowds, but since I've been here, I've never seen 80 kids. We've had 80 people, but 80 kids. We had 70, almost 80 Monday. We had 80 on Tuesday, almost 80 on Wednesday. We dropped into what, the 70s? 66 on Thursday, then back up into 70s on Friday. You said, preacher, numbers don't matter. Numbers, preacher, don't matter. Yeah, they do. That's why God wrote a book about numbers. But something, Brother James, that appeared to me and showed up in my heart and showed in me was I got pushed out of my comfort zone. We had some unruly, ornery, and y'all might be better than me. I thought some of them was Satan's seed. But they broke my heart. When you begin to hear what kind of life they had at home, broke my heart. We had these little test tubes up here, and we yanked some of them. Took some of them out of their class, and I ain't gonna lie. I had asked the Lord forgive me, and I asked you all to forgive me too. I was ready to get rid of them. But when I'm grabbing them little tubes, 7 or 8 years old, said, I'm gonna make me a spearmint shot. My heart just broke, Brother Jeff. How's a 7 or 8 year old kid know what a shot is, know what the flavor is, and know how to make one up? How? That work as a teacher in those Bible school lessons is so important, but also the people around them that's trying to help. It's so, may I say, I found out this past vacation Bible school just how important that we really are and how important it is to continue, be consistent, and to cultivate. I thought for sure it was going to that one trailer park and seeing the conditions of that, but no, it got a whole lot deeper when I sat here and some right now is wiping tears because some of them was in that class. I look at Brother Brian. I don't think he'll mind me calling out him and his wife. They needed that class. They needed pushed out of that comfort zone. They needed to see, you know, all the people in the world don't act like church people. Somebody say amen right there. Right. I've had somebody ask me, said, preacher, how come your kids behave and listen somewhat and listen in church and everything? They listen somewhat. I still got to correct. But Sister Vicki, I had to whoop them. I had to instruct them. I had to direct them. I had to do something. I said I had to instruct them. I had to direct them. I had to whoop them. I had to instruct them, direct them, and whoop them sometimes to get them to know what's right, to have that respect in the house of the Lord. But can I say this? I didn't quit. I didn't give up. I kept on going. Can I say this? The same way it is in the service of the Lord. I saw two of those youngins walking to another church this morning. I thought for sure they was going to come here. I was like, man, why won't you come back? We invested a lot in them, and God said, Jason, they're not your kids. You're a seed sower and a water boy.
Amen.
Hey, if they got up, got themselves dressed, and went to church, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Can I say that oftentimes the service of the Lord, the working of the Lord, to do the things of the Lord, sometimes you do what's unpopular, sometimes you do the job that nobody wants. Do you know how many, but you know, and I ain't going to say, there's some women that was up here with me Monday night, and Brother James, I think I had to play defense then. I had to protect those kids, not only from myself, but I think some of those women wanted to whip them too. And some of you got pushed out of your comfort zone, some of you got mad, some of you got twisted. But can I say this? We shouldn't be that way with the lost and dying world. We shouldn't. Do you know why I was that way with those youngins? Because I have spent too much time at the master's table. Needed to push back and get to laboring in the field. The Lord's been speaking volumes to me these last months or so, and it took me forever to get the wax built up out of my ears. But I'm glad He has. And I'm not telling you something that's not for me. I just want to remind you, some of you have made strides this past week. Some of you need to take a step forward this week. The fields are widened, ready to be harvested, but the laborers are few. We don't do it for the pat on the back. We don't do it for the money. We don't do it for all this and all that. And I was going to tell how much money they brung in for that money war. And all that money goes to the youth retreat, and I think it's good. But can I say all the money in the world don't amount up to nothing?
Right.
I saw some of those kids that go home with some of these adults. Some of you adults even want to take some of them kids home. I got called this, Brother James. Brother James ain't, he sat there and said, "Preach, that's what I've been trying to tell you all these years. I'm trying to get to the scripture the Lord wants me to read. I'm about done. If y'all had to endure all that to get to this, that's fine. But I got called mean. I got called old stinky beaver. One of them looked at me and said, 'Are you pregnant?' Now, you do a cutting on a fat man, it's about to get on. And I think I could have took that 7-year-old girl in a fair fight. But Tuesday, she kind of made me a bracelet. Made me a ring for my thumb. Now, can I say this? The only reason why I get to say all this stuff is because I'm the pastor. But I think it'd be good if some folks heard from everybody else just what this Vacation Bible School done to a lot of people. And I want to read this verse and I want to share something because the Lord showed me something else. It's not just Vacation Bible School because we can't just stay in last week. We can't rest in the decorations. We can't say, "Man, it's been good," and then we wait till next year to do it again. May I say, thank God for that bus. Thank God for that bus. You say, "Why, preacher?" Because we're going to go get some of those kids. Somebody's like, "Oh, surely not. You can't bring those kids into the sanctuary with everybody else." Somebody's going to have to show those kids about the Lord. Somebody's got to be willing to sacrifice. I see some of the, I've seen some of them taking their babies out to the foyer so they don't make noise. I see some of them taking them downstairs so they don't make noise. And sometimes you got to cut yourself out of the worship. Sometimes you got to take yourself out of the praise or the message. Sometimes you got to put yourself on hold so you can help somebody else. But can I say, the Lord sees your labor's not in vain. Amen. He knows it's not in vain. It's worth something. It's worth everything. Amen. Proverbs 16:1, he says, "The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes." Boy, ain't that right? We all think, come on, where's my wing and halo? Anybody see my halo, my wings? Bible says this, "But the Lord weigheth the spirits." He says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." That's steadfast, unmovable, and abounding. I looked up and I saw something on my wall in that office back there. Well, it's the church's wall. I know it's my office, church's all. Y'all can deal with the pronouns. But I saw a picture that was given to me. I love the picture. I still cherish the picture. But I looked on that picture that's on that wall. And there's about 10 families who's no longer here. Some of them don't even go to church no more. "Preacher, have you checked on them?" I've checked on them. I've tried to get them to come back to church. Some left, and they shouldn't have left. Some came. And I'll be honest with you, they shouldn't have come. But still yet, they're an individual that needs the Lord. They need help. The Lord said, consider that. You know what my stupid carnal mind started thinking? Them wrong people. And in the middle of that picture, talked about the service and the work and the faith of the man of God. May I say this? It's not just for the preacher. It's for everybody who's ever been born again and blood bought. We don't work so people will acknowledge us. We don't work so people will pat us on the back. We don't work so folks will brag about our church. I still think we got the best church around, and I'll brag on her. Proud to be a member of Mount Zion Baptist Church. Proud to be the pastor. But can I say this? I'm proud to be a Christian. And your service for the Lord is worth everything, no matter what comes with it. No matter what comes with it. I said this, and I'll be coming to a close. Brother Paul, if you get us a song, get the piano player to come to the piano. You might might be thinking right now, preacher, that where's the lost in this picture? Don't worry. Don't worry. But we labor to do because the Lord has called us to do something. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about all these different things being done. In a book of Ephesians, it talks about He gives pastors and teachers and preachers for the perfecting of the saints. What for? For the work of the Lord. My soul has been sealed. My soul has been saved. Its destination has been determined. I get to go to heaven. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Don't get too excited. Free ice cream. Free ice cream ain't even working now. But I'm reminded of that, I think his name was Josiah or Joash. I think it was Joash. He was the keeper of the oil in David's time. Kept the cellar, the oil cellar. No one probably ever saw him. No one probably ever met him. Nobody ever probably even knew his name. But every time they come to the temple, the light, the torches were lit, the fire was burning. There was always oil there. Can I say this? I don't get up and preach, so Brother James will come up to me and say, good message, Pastor. Love that message, and pats me on the back. I don't preach, so Eddie will come up and say, it's good preaching. Brother Roger, love you with all my heart, but I don't preach because you have me come up and say, good message. Can I say this? I do it because God's called me to do it. It's what He wants me to do. There's a peace in knowing and doing what God wants you to do. There is a peace. And can I say this? I wonder if you have peace in what you're doing. Maybe God has showed you this past week through Vacation Bible School. Man, there's so much that I can be a help in. Maybe you're sitting there going, preacher, I'm still not very clear. Well, I invite you, if this message has touched your heart, I invite you, matter of fact, I encourage you to seek the face of the Lord right now. Don't wait for a piano play or a verse of a song. I'd step out right now or bow my head right now and say, Lord, use me. And be prepared for what He wants to use you for. Don't you pick and choose. Don't you pick or choose. I'll be a friend of Jesus. I'll go where He may send me. Yes. But we need to be about doing the things. Well, preacher, what about the lost person? That's why we're here today. Sometimes we can't get you to come any other time, but on Sunday morning you're here. I wonder if you have anything inside of you, if you have the victory, if you know that you've been saved, born again. I wonder if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you could work right now in that with the Lord in the labor, being steadfast and unmovable. Maybe you're having problems. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're at a place, I don't know. Maybe you've pretended and faked it the whole time and never faithed. Now is accepted time. Today is the day. Harden not your heart. The Lord's speaking to your heart. You need to move. Why? Because He wants to do something wonderful in your life. There's always a debate back and forth. I don't think it's controversial. It doesn't bother me one bit. Whether or not if we get blessings and rewards now or later. I'll say this. I felt blessings and rewards now, and I believe there'll be blessings and rewards later. But I'll say this, the one thing I don't want to do is neglect in that in the work of the Lord. Is your work worth anything? Your service with the Lord worth anything? It should be worth everything if you're saved. As they play.